And I can't believe it's been more than 10 years since the final episode of The Office, the US Office, aired. And fans of the hugely popular and funny mockumentary series will be happy to hear there is a brand new kid in town. The brains behind the original series bring you The Paper, a semi-sequel to the beloved long-running sitcom. Following its massive success, the same in-world camera crew and production team who followed the goings-on at Dunder Mifflin decide to shift focus to The Truth Teller, a historic but now struggling Midwest Western newspaper, and the efforts of the publisher trying to revive it. And it features the UK's very brilliant comedian, poet and co-creator and star of The Ballad of Wallace Island. It's only Tim Key who joins me now. Hello, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
It's so lovely to have you on the show. Congratulations. I managed to get a wee sneak peek at the first episode of The Paper. Oh, listen, I've been so smug about it, Tim. Nobody else in the office has seen it. I'm like, I got a screener, darling. I managed to see it before Friday, so I've been rubbing it in. But it is, I don't know, Tim, it made me feel really happy because, you know, we love The Office and we love the US Office. And from the first minute this thing starts, you feel kind of familiar and home, and it was brilliant from start to finish. It was so wonderful.
Oh, I'm so glad you liked it.
I really,
it's funny. I'm watching the first episode. It is, well, it's right from the credits. You're like, the opening credits are just kind of perfect. I absolutely love them. And the theme tune, it's sort of, you know, it's you're right. I mean, it does feel quite high pressure when you're watching the credits, from my point of view. Because you don't want to sort of, you don't want the credits to be really good and then, oh, that's a shame, I've spoiled everything and that man's in it.
Listen, away you go. You know how utterly loved you are and adored by everyone, especially in the UK. So the fact, but I actually think by having, you know, the ensemble cast is so impressive, Tim, right? But yeah, we feel safe as an audience when we see your name and we see the names that are attached and we see Stephen Merchant and Ricky Gervais' name coming up as, you know, associate or series producers, whatever it might be. So already, and there's a great, you know, we understand what we were getting in terms of The Office. So there's already this expectation and it really does deliver. But I wonder how they approach you to do something like this, because, you know, you've got so much going on and you've just finished the festival. And I know you shot this a good while ago, but when a script like this lands and you understand, you know, that where this comes from and what they're trying to do with it, what was your first kind of thoughts about it?
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's such a specific thing to be asked to do because of, you know, I mean, if it's a different sitcom, you're not introducing it in this way. You're just sort of going, there's a new sitcom, tell us about it. Mm. But instead you're like, you know, you talk a lot about the last one, and it is sort of, you do get that pressure that you're sort of on the shoulders of giants, and it's not something that would make you not do it. But you are kind of aware that it's not just any old job. There's a sort of, you want to do it really well, but there's also this sort of inbuilt responsibility not to ruin everything that's been done in the past. But weirdly, I have done that before with Partridge. I had that same pressure of feeling like, obviously it's a no-brainer, I want to be in the Alan Partridge thing. But also, you know, that on your first day at work, you're like, oh my God, I could spoil this for everyone. And I also had it with Peep Show, where you're like, I was in the last series of Peep Show. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like a very specific pressure, which I felt before and which isn't very pretty. But, you know, once you're there and once they roll the cameras, then you're at work and you make sure that you don't ruin it for everyone. And it was kind of like, it was that kind of a job where it's, yeah, I mean, I love doing it. I love doing my scenes and I love working with that ensemble cast. Mm-hmm. And you know, you just have to lean into the fact that, yeah, it's by the same people who made The Office.
Do you know, it's so fascinating to hear you talk like that, because, you know, you think of a world without Sidekick Simon and the work that you did in Peep Show, and I'm like, how could you ever have thought? But that's really honest and really real for me.
Oh, I remember it like it was yesterday, a very lonely plod down Edgware Road, where we'd done the first, you know, the first episode in the tiny little studio with Alan, with Steve Coogan. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I did walk away thinking, well, I've ruined that.
No, are you? But that is,
now I'm incredibly proud of it, and I love doing that. But yeah, there is that slight feeling. And you know, the same with this one. I remember walking back to my trailer after the first scene and thinking, okay, that was not too bad. You know, once you're 2 or 3 weeks in, then you understand the rhythms of it and everything. And, you know, it's I had a great time, and obviously it's like a dream job, but yeah, there's the bit at the start is quite high wire.
But this is, I think this is fascinating to us mere mortals, right? Because we just get to watch this finished product and we don't think about all the things that you're just, and that's a very real emotion. That's a very real way to feel. I'm sure lots of people would relate to that no matter what their line of work is. We all feel like that. We just, I suppose when you see people on screen, you just don't think that happens.
Well, it's very funny. Like the first, when you first go onto the set, it's a mad feeling because it's sort of overwhelming. But also it's kind of crazy because it's an office. so it's really underwhelming as well. It's like, you know the sort of, you know, the history and the sort of weight of what you're about to do. But then there's just sort of hole punches around, like switcher. Yeah, it's kind of a mad feeling.
I don't want to give too much away, right? Because obviously we're going to get to see it this weekend when it drops here in the UK. But there is an absolute nod to Dunder Mifflin and Scranton and where we come from. But this is not set in the same building. We're in a different part of America, in a very different workplace. The paper connects it. What do we need to know? What do we need to know about Ken, your character, as well? We don't want to give too much away, but what can you tell us about him?
No, I think like the main sort of connecting DNA from previous offices is the style of shooting, and it's the same. It's the same sort of documentary crew, and which again is kind of mad because you do your first scene and that first look to the documentary maker is really interesting because you've seen it so many times from you know from Steve Carell, and then you've seen it so many times from, you know, Ricky Gervais 25 years ago, that little, you know, the momentary just glance at the camera that he's aware that he's kind of somewhere in between giving information and also slight performance mode. So yeah, there's that slightly. My character, I don't know. I mean, he's English, thank God.
I did wonder when I start watching it, right? Because obviously Donald Gleeson has an American accent in it.
Yeah.
And I always wondered.
Did you think I was trying to do one?
No, not at all. Not at all. Don't even dare. No, but I actually think it adds to the character that you're English. I think it totally adds to Ken.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, that's down to them, you know, how they want to, what blend they're trying to get in the cast. Uh-huh. And I'm kind of, having looked at it, I think it all works. It's fine that he's English, but it is quite mad. Everyone around is American. And then he's just like, I don't know how he's found himself there. And that is kind of the character. He's like, I mean, I think by rights, he just shouldn't be there. He's just like, I think he's from St. Albans. And I mean, what you need to know about my character is he's absolutely irredeemable. No good qualities, really. Just enters a room, makes everything worse, walks away, and that's that. So it's a joy to play it.
But he's so funny. Even that first interaction when they're talking about budgets and stuff like that, it's just, he's like, no, that's going to happen. Sorry, that's just not a thing. I just thought it was, I thought it was brilliant. But I have to say as well, I think, you know, Greg Daniels and everyone involved in this, they do put together a really great ensemble cast. I mean, I don't want to give too much away, but you've got Melvin Gregg there. You've got Donald Gleeson, which I spoke about. Sabrina, and I'm going to absolutely murder her surname in my Scottish accent. So I'm not even going
to... Go on, murder it.
No, I can't murder it.
I can resuscitate it once.
No, okay. Impositor. I can't see it. I cannot see it. It's absolutely...
No, you can't do anything with that.
Help me out.
I think it's Impacciatore.
Thank you much. She was amazing in White Lotus. Amazing in White Lotus. And she's so great in this one. There's such a great ensemble. I think, and I'm assuming, right, I wouldn't know because I've never been on something like this, but I think in terms of from a creative point of view, it just must be, you know, sort of even from the first read through and then getting it up on its feet and getting it into, you know, the office space where you guys are, you must just bounce off everyone there because it is such a high caliber of performer that you're kind of working alongside.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, and all of those scenes, you look at what you're doing that day, and yeah, whoever it's with, you're like, okay, that's fun. That'll be interesting. Mm. I mean, you know, I don't want to pick any out, but like, they're all sort of very different. I mean, Sabrina, sorry, what was her surname again?
You know, I'm not going to say that again. Yeah, okay, as you know, in Scotland, it's a pure ruddy if I try and say that one more time. I mean, I did French at school many, many moons ago. That was it. That's what I can maybe get away with a French. That's it.
Well, yeah, so So they're all of each one is from a very different sort of flavor. Yeah. And so Sabrina's, yeah, she's spicy. She's very, very fun to work with on screen and off, to be fair. But yeah, they're all slightly different in their own ways. And yeah, it is interesting, you know, you're shooting something miles away from home. So it's kind of important that you all get along.
Yeah.
I remember, like, it is a bit like sort of, I don't know, it was like going on a date when I sort of, I asked Donal if he wanted to go to the pub on the first day. But you quickly get the idea that this job is going to work much better if I'm friends with Donal Gleeson, which is a mad thing to sort of take into account. But yeah, it was so funny. We went to like a little dive bar and got drunk with Donal, and then sort of it makes everything okay then, because you now have your little friend and
every layer of ice has been broken there. You're sorted.
Yeah, exactly. So no, it was a really fun job on that front. But yeah, it is. They do know what they're doing in terms of putting together a cast.
You have so many strings to your bow. You know, you're a poet, you're a writer, you've co-created stuff. You obviously are a wonderful comedian. I know you've just finished your run at the Fringe with Logan Berry. I mean, these things are completely different disciplines, right? When you're in front of a live audience and you're doing your thing as opposed to reading scripts and being part of that ensemble. How did your month go in Edinburgh? Did you have a good time?
Loved it, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of mad. I just always find myself there. And I think this was sort of a slightly unplanned, I guess, last year. I don't think I planned to write a show, really. But it just sort of creeps up on you. And I think partly because I just love Edinburgh.
Yeah.
I sort of go there. I mean, this is the first time I've done a whole month there for a while. But yeah, it's great. You know, and it's just such an amazing festival. But, you know, being on the kind of ground level as someone who's doing it, I think it's where you learn most, I think, in terms of getting better at being a comedian, I suppose, getting better at doing it and having the chance to do your show 25 times in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, with this one, I kind of just was constantly tinkering with it. Some of them are kind of feel like you're done and you can just relax. But with this one, yeah, it was lots of post-its around my Airbnb and then remembering things to say and stuff. And yeah, I think it was the 25th show was better than the first one, which is kind of, it's good when you're on the train leaving, thinking, yeah, I've made some progress.
But I think that's really interesting, because the amount of comedians and performers that we spoke through over that month, just exactly echoing what you're saying. You know, the show that you start with on the first date is not the show you end up with, and it goes through this lovely evolution, you know, and independent and audience interaction will dictate that as well, and just what kind of crowd they're getting in. But I actually think it's such an amazing place, because this is the thing when you do comedy, right? There's only one way to do it, and it's literally you've got to go out there and do it in front of an audience. And I think your stagecraft then, and this is, it becomes just so exceptional, because it's not like, it's a really weird thing, because it's not like anywhere else you can go, like even drama school, you can go and rehearse and practice and learn. Comedy is just, and I have such admiration for comedians to do that, because hail, rain or shine, you're out there.
Yeah, you should do. It's horrible. there's nowhere to hide.
Yeah, it's awful.
It is a real kind of privilege to be able to do it. But yeah, I think that's why you're working so hard and you're leaving no stone unturned, is because if you do a show which is not as good as you want it to be, it's kind of very exposing.
Yeah.
And you then find yourself, you know, walking up Arthur's Seat in a vexed state the next day, considering things like walking away from comedy and stuff like that. You can catastrophize. Not this time, but I remember the last time I went, the first two or three days, it's just like, you know, it can be, until you've worked out what your show is,
you can
catastrophize and think this is going to unpick all of my good work over the years, because this is going to be my bad show. So you make sure that doesn't happen. So you work hard and, you know, make sure it's good.
Listen, I'm so thoroughly impressed that you went up Arthur's Seat in the first place, because I mean, I'm born and bred in Glasgow, fair enough, not Edinburgh, and I've never taken my backside up Arthur's Seat, but maybe I should do it.
You are joking.
I have climbed Conic Hill. I know I need to do it. Like, I don't spend enough time in Edinburgh. I did the festival as well for 7 years, but I didn't, when I was just like in and out doing the show. But I feel like as something, as a Scots person, I should be ashamed that I've not went up Arthur's Seat. I have went up Conic Hill and I've done different bits in Ben Lomond and stuff like that, but not Arthur's Seat.
No, Arthur's Seat is good, and it's also less. It looks quite intimidating from afar, but once you get your teeth into it, it doesn't actually take that long. It's sort of up and down in about an hour and a half.
See, my problem as well is when I did the festival and I was still partaking in a sherry at that point in my life, I was out to maybe like 5 or 6 in the morning. I was getting the full cooked breakfast on the way home. And I was like, the last
What?
thing I could do was drag my backside up Arthur's Seat. Hence why I don't drink anymore. But that was my wild days at the festival. But I'm very impressed that you did go up Arthur's Seat. And we're also so excited, Tim, for the paper to come out. It's going to be launching on the 5th of September on Sky and streaming service now. All 10 episodes will be available. I thought it was wonderful. I can't wait for everyone to see it. And thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me.
Real pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Oh, the brilliant Tim